Father, we love declarations here. We love decrees here. We thank you for teaching us about that. But God, we need your power every moment to back it up. How do we get that power from you? We press into you. We press into your presence. We cannot back up one word out of our mouth without you. Father, we might think that we can, but we can't. We might strongly put our passion behind these statements, but without you, we don't have the power to fulfill them. Only you can bring us our destiny. Only you can bring us the power to follow the path to get there. We give you all the glory and all the praise for being the one we can connect with, we can experience, we can encounter in order to reach our destiny, to change the nations, to change history for the good, for the good, for the good, Lord. We bless your name. We praise you in Jesus' name. Okay, who spoke last week? Okay, good. I'm glad you know who spoke. What was the theme of that? I listened to the message. I was pretty encouraged. Anyone remember what the theme was? This is just last week now. Restore the roar. I think that should be I think that should be something we remind one another of. It was post-resurrection revelation is what I have in my notes. Restore the roar, not a purr, but a roar. The roar is just one repentance away. It is easy to restore the roar with repentance and humility. Never underestimate the power of one encounter with the Lord, a face-to-face moment with the roar. And Proverbs 28:1 was given. The righteous can be bold as a lion. Well, what if you're not bold? What if you need some encouragement this morning to be bold and to restore the roar? Obviously, restoring the roar is a gift. You have to receive it. You can make the decision, but you have to receive it. The power to restore the roar from the Lord, don't you think? That's the mistake that's made across the church and in many lives, is that they think, well, if I just commit, if I just make an oath, if I just say I'm going to, if I just grit my teeth, if I obey. And then when we don't do very well at times, some discouragement can come in. You know that this week has been a whole week, a roar in the spirit. But some of you are discouraged. The Lord told me so. You're discouraged. How can you be discouraged in the midst of a roaring worship to God? Well, you make a choice. You know you can choose to be encouraged? You can just choose to be encouraged. Well, I tried that. I wanted to be encouraged, and I said, you know, I wish I was encouraged. No, not wish. Choose. And again, the Holy Spirit. So many of us have had experiences in the past that are experiences with God, the Holy Spirit. Those should be reminders to us of what's available. The high points should remind us during the low points so we're encouraged, so we're lifted up. When there's a roar going on and you're not encouraged, that just makes you feel like dirt. So maybe if you ran into that this week, oh, another time of worship tonight. Oh, I should probably be there. I'm on the worship team. It's worship, and I'm on the worship team. I guess I should be there. You know, that's not very much of the roar. That's more like the purr, wouldn't you say? How do you change that? when you feel like that, your feelings kind of rise up. In fact, led by our feelings, what happens to our spirit? The feelings are of the spirit. To our spirit when our feelings are in roller coaster. That's not an answer. Discouraged. What happens is soul actually pushes down the Holy Spirit wanting to rise up inside of you if you follow your emotions. Now think of that. The Bible calls it grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit. Your soul, with its emotions, if you're flying on the emotion ring, or emotion plane, excuse me, the emotion plane, it can keep down your spirit from rising. And you wonder why you can't roar when everyone else is roaring. You can't seem to have joy, and there's joy everywhere around you. Your soul is in charge. It might be your mind, your will, your emotions. Your mind says to your will, hey, go with your emotions. And your emotions rise up and your spirit gets held down. Are you with me this morning? It's an important picture for each one of us. Because this has been, you know, a massive amount of worship up to the Lord, and we've offered it up. But some of you are discouraged in the midst of this. I'm sensing that. Or you've had a point of discouragement this week that just kind of held on to you for way too long. Or you're saying, yeah, right, it was a great week for everybody else. Okay. I'm going to take that as, Okay. So, you know, how are you going to be royalty, have a destiny, be set free, and change history if your soul is keeping down your spirit? Big words we sing out, and I please keep singing them. It encourages one another, and it's just coming to the point where we believe it and receive it. So even if you're singing it out of I am royalty, I have destiny, I kind of, you know, I've been set, and I'm going to change me? History? Well, maybe, I don't know, possibly. If you're in that boat, you can't really sing it out with your full passion. Let me suggest to you, your soul may be keeping down your spirit. You walk in here and you say, I have more questions than answers, and these people can't answer them. I've seen people fall on the floor in this place. I'm not sure that's the power of God. You know what's kicking in there? Not your spirit. Your spirit goes, yeah, that's the power of God. Woo! Embraces it. Your mind says, let me think about this. I'm a pretty intelligent person. I don't just get fooled by everything that happens up there. That Pastor Mary Pat, even though she's not even touching them, somehow she's giving them a kick in the leg or pushing them somehow. Because they're not going down under the real power of God. You know, or something similar to that. Okay? I know that's out there, come on, in some of you. And all I'm saying is, that's the soul pushing down the spirit. The spirit loves freedom. The spirit loves what God does. Even if someone occasionally falls down under their own power, maybe the next time it'll be under the spirit's power. Are you willing to wait? Are you willing to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're on a path towards that? Are you? Say yes. Just say yes. So, if the Spirit is in charge, there's kind of a joy that just wells up inside. You might be having a messed up day. You really might. But the Spirit comes and encourages you. And you're receiving it. You know, the Spirit is always encouraging you, wanting to. But whether you receive it or not is the issue. And it's the mind, the will, and the emotions that holds the Spirit. Unless they're transformed. Unless they're in agreement with the Spirit. Can the mind be transformed by the power of God? Yes. Can the mind be transformed by the Holy Spirit? Yes. That's what we're talking about. It agrees with your spirit going, let me out! I want to be all that I'm supposed to be! And our mind goes, I'll think about it. Our emotions go, I don't feel like it today. Our will says, nada. No way. Not today. Too tired to let the spirit rise. Okay, or it might be habits, healing we need inside of our emotions so that they can be under control. You know, your emotions will rage inside of you if they're not healed up. If you have orphan emotions, they will rage inside of you until you're healed up. You'll make decisions based on that rather than on the Spirit. Using the Word of God. It's true. And believe it or not, we actually run into that even here at Frontline. Frontline. We're on the front lines and we run into that. So what do we say? Let's condemn all those people that are following their emotions. Judge them. There. No. Instead, we do what Jesus did with each of his disciples that needed all of this kind of healing. You know, there were some pretty emotional dudes in that bunch. I will die for you! Cock-a-doodle-doo. Yeah, that didn't last very long. He was pretty emotional. Foot in mouth Peter. But the Lord restored him how? By judging him, condemning him, setting him straight like a good father. What? No. Do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Lord. You know, I screwed up big time. But I love you. And I know that's weird. And I love you so much, I'm going to restore you. So go feed those lambs. Go feed those sheep. You're released. You're free. I know you repented of turning me into the authorities and having me beaten. That's pretty good forgiveness by the Lord. And by the way, he did that around breakfast. I'm sure he was having kale. Well, we'll check the scriptures on that. But anyway, actually, I'm getting into the... It's a miracle of God. Yeah, I'm still at the point of spelling protein powder as M-E-A-T, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Okay, so I saw this quote by our special Kingdom Health people on Facebook the other day. It says, I am who I am today because of the choices I made yesterday. Eleanor Roosevelt. Now, Eleanor happens to be dead, so she's not making any more choices. But when she said this, it was kind of important. I think, you know, we need to fit in the choices into this picture of the soul. If it's not transformed by the Spirit, if it's not ruled over by the Spirit, the soul will make choices not by the Spirit. It'll make choices by the flesh, by the natural. It'll keep the Spirit down, even while saying, oh, I want more of God. Yeah, I do. But it can't seem to get over these things that come across my mind and lead me to choices that I make that don't seem to fit in with what the Spirit of God says or the Word of God, especially when I talk to someone that's actually following the Spirit of God. Then I go, why wasn't I thinking that way? How come I'm not making decisions like that? Gee, I meant to. Well, it's the mind, the will, and emotions going after the natural things, the natural man, not the things above, but the things of the earth. Now, you get a big bill in the mail. It's bigger than what you thought. You have choices, right? You can start to worry. That's not in the budget. I can't pay that. What's going on here? How could this be right? How did I, you know, use that many minutes on my cell phone? How did I use that much heat? That can't be. Just because it's winter? I only kept it at 74 like Pastor Mary Pat. Followed the rules. You have choices. You can start to worry about that bill. Well, where does that come from? That comes from the soul not following the Spirit and not being transformed. It starts to think naturally, I cannot pay this bill. And the Spirit's going, I can. I can. Because the Spirit wants to grab onto the resources of heaven and bring it down to earth. This, I'm telling you, this is powerful. Because the Spirit doesn't have any lack. It only lives in the abundance of heaven if you allow it to. Your spirit intertwined with Holy Spirit. It only lives with the abundance of heaven. Heaven coming to earth. So you look at things differently. When we get into, oh my gosh, that's a big bill, instead of, that's a big bill, I've got a big father. Big father pays big bills. I love that. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Big daddy pays big bills. It's true. And he uses creative ways. It might not be your paycheck. He loves to go overboard in loving you and taking care of things. But if you're back here in your mind, will, and emotions, and you're thinking naturally only, worry, fear, what if I don't pay the bill to shut off the gas? I'll be cold. Are you cold right now? No. Is the heat on? Yes. Don't you think the Father can keep the heat on? He's kept the sun going for quite a while. Sure he can. Why would he leave you and provide for someone else that's his son or daughter? Why? You're thinking you're less treasure? You're less of a pearl of great price to him?
Well, he only does that for leaders. He doesn't do it for me.
Bank account gets low because you're paying some of the bills. Do you expect him to refill it? You give towards a big project at the church? A big project at the church. Oh, where are you? And, you know, your funds get low. Do you start thinking, why the world did I give to that? Now I don't have anything. That was a dumb move, Spirit. You led me to do that. And, you know, you can start complaining in your emotions, in your soul realm. If it grabs onto the natural again instead of grabbing onto the supernatural that the Spirit led you to. And you can whine and complain. Why did we get out here in the desert? We had those good leeks and onions and that stuff back. Gosh, why did I come way out here in the desert led by the Spirit of God? That was stupid, stupid, stupid. Moses, you're stupid, stupid, stupid. You're the one that led us out here. And what happened? You get 40 years of desert instead of promised land. If you're feeling the desert today during a week of promised land, something's disconnected. I said something's disconnected. Because even if you weren't here for any of the days of worship, the nights of worship, the days of prayer, you should walk in here and feel a difference after that amount of input into the Spirit. You should feel the presence of God. Well, I don't believe in feeling like that. If it's here, you can feel it in the Spirit. It's just the way it is. Believe it or not. And if your spirit's not connecting with that in some way, shape, or form, I'm not saying you walk in and fall down, but you might walk in and say, you know, there's something of peace here. There's something of peace here. I don't know how many people have walked into our house over the last 10 or 12 years, and they say, there's some kind of peace here in this house. I'm thinking, how come I don't remember that all the time? Okay, the soul has been rising up a little bit too much. I need to grab onto this. It's a reminder to me. Yeah, it's a place of peace because so many cool things of Holy Spirit have happened there. In the same way here. Some people come in here first or second time and they start to fall asleep and they think, wow, it's not the message. They say it's not the message. It's what they tell me. It's just the peace they feel. And they start to drift into the seat. You know what? You just go ahead and sleep during the message. I give you permission. Because if you're feeling that rest in the Spirit, you're going to get a lot out of that. You're going to get a lot out of that connection with the Lord. If that happens to you, you have my permission. And I won't even wake you up or have someone come over and hit you with a Bible. I won't do it. So, you know, the Bible is big on perseverance. We kind of like that word and we don't like that word. When we are persevering and we've gone through trials and we're contending for the maybe the smaller trials that are happening right now, we're contending for a breakthrough in some of those things. We kind of like that word. When we feel like we're overwhelmed instead of overcoming, we don't like that word. We don't like it at all. It just feels too pushy. Persevere under trial. You're like, huh, I'm out of gas. How do I do that? A few years ago, someone gave me this plaque. It was someone that had not stood with me during a trial. And they gave me this plaque. It's James 1:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. He said, that's you. And now that's an encouragement. I went through a trial. He didn't happen to support me. He supported me early in the trial, but not late when I really needed it. And so, you know, he gave me this plaque. He sent me this plaque. And he asked to come over to my house. And I hadn't seen him for a few years. And I said, well, sure. He says, I have to come over to your house. Okay. He had never been to my house. Well, not that house. Been to other houses in the past. Okay, sure. Come over. And I have to bring my family. All right. Bring them. I mean, it's open. Come on over. So he comes over. He walks in the door. And I don't remember whether he gave me this then or he gave it to me afterwards or how that went down. I don't remember. But he came in. We sat at the table. And he starts to cry. And his wife starts to cry. And his children start to cry, his two children. I'm thinking, is this a good thing or a bad thing? You're in my house for the very first time and you're crying, or all of you. And he basically asks my forgiveness for not supporting me fully during the last stages of the trial that I had been in. And he said, we all feel that way. And God has shown us that we should have done just the opposite. We should have been there to support you like we did in the early years of the trial. Now, that's pretty major. That doesn't happen every day. But Those are the fruits of persevering during a trial. Even those that couldn't support at certain points in a trial that you're going through end up coming to you after, and that's part of the fruit that God brings, part of the favor that God brings from persevering through any trial. So you contend for those things. And the cool thing about it was I had forgiven him years ago. I've forgiven him when it happened. He basically told his family, we're not going to his wedding. And it was a very important kind of thing to back me up. And he didn't come. And so he's sitting there crying, and I had already forgiven. So I'm in joy. He's in anguish, thinking it's going to be new that I forgive him. And I was able to say, I've already forgiven you. It's all right. I've already forgiven you. I forgave you years ago. So those years in between, they may have been misunderstanding, but they weren't me being bitter. And I was glad. I was enjoying it. Because if it would have been my mind, will, and emotions, unsanctified, unaffected by the Spirit of God, would I have forgiven him? No, I would have waited for him to come. And if he came, then I'd say, well, yeah, you bet your bottom dollar you should be asking me for forgiveness. But see, the Spirit of God says, forgive when it happens. Don't take it into account. And the only way we can do that is by the power of the Spirit. So if you've been missing that as the key element in your life, allowing the Spirit of God to rise up over emotions and things that are natural, can be under control, and joy overwhelms any kind of problem that you're feeling in your emotions. When your emotions want to run, make you run. I want to run. I got to go. I got to get out of here. I got to go, 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 go. Leave, 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 leave. Leave frontline. Leave life. Leave this planet. Your spirit can rise up and say, exactly what you're doing that for? Your tribe. You're leaving your tribe. That's where the favor is. That's where the blessing is. Not just you on your own little spiritual journey, but you're supposed to find your tribe and be a part of it and input into it, not just get out of it something. You with me? I see some scowls. Scowling people simulator. It won't be a beating, just discussion. So, are you encouraged or discouraged? If you primarily live in discouragement, then your soulish struggles keep a lid on your spirit rising up on the wings of eagles. If you primarily live by the power of the emotions of the soul, then it is extremely difficult to rise up with the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're wondering why you don't feel powerful in the Holy Spirit, probably your soul is living naturally and in charge. And you need to align your mind, will, and emotion with the Spirit that is rising. The Spirit is always free when you allow it to be. It can't be free if the soul is pressing it down. Are you with me? Are you with me? That's why when the two align together, that's why these people look crazy around here. They figured out the secret that you align the soul, mind, will, and emotions, up with the Spirit. Oh, you can make history. There was a woman in Brazil, and I was giving a message on the Father's love and singing over the people that came to this meeting, and it was just fun. I mean, I was just having a great time. It's one of my, favorite topics, you might have noticed. Just lavishing love on them and telling them all about, my little kingdom and, you know, the God's kingdom and how the Father's love, you're going to want to go to God's kingdom because it's all there for you and everything else. And this woman came up afterwards. In fact, they ushered her up to me. They wanted me to hear her testimony. And the translator was translating. And she's, you know, just overcome with, you know, I could see all that. And it was in Portuguese and only two in Portuguese. But anyway, the translator was translating. And she basically said, you know, I came here tonight and I just, you know, had not figured out rise, I go towards my destiny, and though my destiny is big, I just didn't do it. And what was shared and what the Spirit spoke to me tonight, who out there know that the Spirit always speaks beyond the speaker? Always. That's why I'm up here. Because it was just what I say, that's not enough. It's not enough. It's got to be the Spirit speaking way beyond the message. Way beyond anything that's set up here by anyone. So anyway, she's telling about what the Spirit was doing inside of her and so on, and she's just giving this testimony, and she's into it, and she's smiling. I'm looking at her eye to eye, and I'm like, she's got it. I can tell, even if it's in Portuguese, she's got it. And she's just sharing with joy and joy. And at the end, she says, after all of this, and when you come back to Brazil, you will hear about me. Whoa! Then I really was convinced she had it. Who speaks out like that? Boldly like that? I am royalty. I have destiny. I've been set free. And mister, when you come back to Brazil, I'm going to be making history. You'll hear about me. And it was not said with the spirit of, yeah, that's right. You know, it was said with, oh my gosh, I finally got it. The Father helps me. The Father moves in me. The Father wraps his spirit around my spirit. And it can rise over anything that tries to keep it down if I align my soul, my mind, will, and emotions with it. Pew! Takes off like a rocket. And you will feel a whole lot better. You certainly will. You won't have your... You know, it'll be more like, rest. And you kind of feel like you're riding on the wings rather than steering the plane. Do you steer a plane? Oh, I guess. Anyway, you know, flying the plane on wings of eagles, there's a reason. You feel lighter. You feel more empowered. You're not the one striving to get somewhere. You're flying on the power of the Spirit. Now, if you think this is just a bunch of fluff, it's how I've been living my life. It's how others are living their life. It's why we can go to the nations, and it doesn't matter which nation and what it looks like, and rich or poor, sick or not, and believe that God's going to do something powerful. Do you think we just suddenly think, oh, yeah, that's me. I can do that. Yeah. Go to the nations, heal people, deliver. That's me. Yeah. Arnold. Arnold the Deliverer. Believe me, that's not the case. I have to attach myself to the wings to do any of this. And when I do, wow, I'm enjoying it. When I don't, I start to say, wow, this is a big challenge. I don't know, you know, I don't know. Then the Spirit goes, we've come this far, and if you just attach it onto my power, we can do this. Oh, that's right. That's right. We're in a tent in Ghana. Mary Pat's very sick. And some of the voices coming in the door to help pray, it's a spirit of death. Oh, thanks. as if I needed that on top of it. And I'm in the tent, and she says, "So, do you have anything?" Oh, this is on me now. You know, it's just her and me in the tent, so. It's on me now? I'm thinking, I have nothing. There is nothing there. I don't even feel like praying. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm thinking, why don't I mean, I should care more. This is my wife. She's sick. I should care more. What was I doing? I was, you know, over here in the soulish realm. And you know what? I made a decision. I will go to the spirit realm. Even though I had no faith, I just said, I'm going to the spirit realm because this isn't going to work. Spirit of death coming through the door. Rah, rah, rah. And, you know, I'm going nowhere and I'm in the soulish realm. If I continue to make decisions like, gee, I'm tired, I don't know about this, that's not going to go very well. So I decided I'm going to the spirit realm. I had nothing. I just went, give me, Lord. Help me. Rescue me. Come to me. And you know, he gave me this vision. Woo-hoo! A picture, if you will, of me taking Mary Pat to heaven. I'm flying. I'm like, whoa, this is cool. And I'm flying up to heaven with Mary Pat. Like, I'm going, well, this is better than not caring. Okay, so I am flying up to heaven with her. And when I get there, I lay her before Jesus. Oh, he's there when I get there. Woo! Because I didn't know what I was going to do when I got there. And I'm there, and I lay before Jesus, and I'm concerned. You know, my face is concerned. Even though I'm flying and I go up to heaven, I've got a concerned face. I can see it in the picture. But I look across Mary Pat's body stretched out in front of us, and I see Jesus smiling, relaxed, like at peace. And he just starts touching organs and they glow. Touches another, and I'm just sitting there. You know, I had already released her to him long before that. Sitting there, glow, glow. Have you ever seen a pancreas glow? Glow, glow, glow. And he did some other things I kind of forget, but it was all cool. And he just, you know, he's smiling, and he just kind of goes, there you have it. I'm like, awesome. Wow. And I'm seeing it. And so Andy came in, and he says, I see that too. I'm like, oh, yeah. Something's going to happen here. You see, whenever that happens, for sure, you know it's both of us tuning into the spirit. Neither one of us any longer with that soulish stuff that keeps us in the natural. We're into the spirit. Because then there's all kinds of agreement going on and cool connections and stuff, and he reveals it every once in a while. There's much more than we see, but he reveals some of it. Wow, this is cool. Something's going to happen. And so, you know, prayed some more into Mary Pat. You know, I'm really energized now. You'd never know I was tired or anything else. I've had this vision. I speak it out. She's going, oh, you know, whatever she was doing. And, you know, Andy comes in, confirms this, and I'm just, this is like, it just turned into like darkness in the room just turned into light. And over, you know, I don't know, it wasn't very long. She turned around completely. And I thought, what was happening there? It was plugging into what we all can plug into. That's not just, you know, Pastor Bill being weird. Okay? This, believe it or not, this is for you to contend for. And it's not as hard as you might think. Now, was I reading my Bible and praying over my wife when I had this great vision? No, I was kind of messing around in the soulish. You know, not as concerned as I should be, not as on target as I should be. I'm weary. And I just made the decision. I'm going to the spiritual realm. I'm gonna let my spirit rise up over everything I'm feeling, every doubt, every lack. I'm gonna let the spirit rise up. And what does the spirit have? Abundance. Abundance. I'm trying to get that across. So if you're feeling lack in any area, this is the key. You're living with the soulish realm, kind of keeping your spirit down, down, down. Your spirit has to rise up. You say, well, I could never have one. Don't ever say that. Yes, you can.
Oh, yes,
you can. And it might not be just the way that I described it. It'll be creative. He's a creative God. He'll do something amazingly special to you. Often he gives me pictures. He encourages me with pictures. He lifts me up with pictures. For you, believe it or not, you could smell something in the spirit and being totally encouraged. And the rest of us would go, well, I've never had that. I don't know. That's kind of weird. But it's totally encouraging to you and lifting you up. He is so creative. Anything, anything from the Spirit can help you. And so you're going to have a unique experience to share here at Frontline. And I'm expecting it to increase in each of you. So there will be testimonies up here about what you're experiencing in the Spirit and how your Spirit rose up over your soul and ruled your soul, ruled your emotions, and suddenly you're at peace. Such peace, overwhelming peace, just like the Bible talks about. Or joy, just like the Bible talks about. And you're going to tell me about it, aren't you? When that happens. Because it just keeps the ball rolling for all of us. It keeps encouragement going for all of us. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I want some of you to see and hear old revelation with new eyes and new ears. Allow it to be fresh again in order to be persevering. Some of you have had revelation of the past, incredible revelation, incredible encounters with God, and you've let it become old news. Let it hit the front page again. Encourage yourself with those things that God has already done, and he'll do more. He loves to hear the testimonies of what he's already done. Thank you, God, for saving me. That day was incredible. When I went to my room up in the attic, my parents always wanted to close me up there with those folding stairs. And Lord, I was up there with you, though. And I prayed to receive you, Lord, into my life. And it transformed everything. I had a new desire to read the Word of God. I had a new desire to get a haircut when I had hair down to here, believe it or not, back then. And God, you just worked that in me. I was not swearing like I had, and I didn't even work on it. How'd you do that, God? And just let him have it as far as what he's already done in a good way. He will build on that foundation. If you're thankful for the things he's already done, already to you, and you speak those out to him, he just can't wait to build on top of that. So do that. You've had experiences with the Lord. If you just know the Lord and you've, you know, been kind of wishy-washy ever since, you've had that experience that you invited him in, and it was supernatural what happened in your heart. And if it wasn't supernatural, maybe you need to revisit that. Well, I invited him in when I was 3 years old and so on. And I think he's there. I don't know. Haven't had anything since. You might need to revisit that. Because you want that first one to be the main pad that everything else is built on. So that happened with our grandson this past Sunday. On the way to church, one of our grandsons has leukemia, at least that's what they say. Never take a label. Don't identify you. Always cast down these labels. Even diseases that people say you have or glitches in your body. Take it. Don't own it. Always cast it down. Say, that's not me. That's not for me. That's an attack on me. That's not good for me. The Father doesn't like that. The Father wants to get rid of that. Jesus likes to tear down the works of the enemy. That's a work of the enemy. It's not a work of Jesus. It's not God saying, oh, you need this to have a better character. No, God can produce a character in you without those kinds of things happening to you. And Jesus didn't say that while he was walking on the earth. You need a better character. I'll let you have that disease because you need a better character. Thorn in the flesh with Paul was not physical. Spiritual. Enough said. Anyway, I'm in a car with Mary Pat and the two grandkids in the back seat, and my son and daughter-in-law are up ahead of us in another car. We're going to church. And about that time, I think you were praying here for my grandson, Cooper. And I suddenly just feel this in the spirit. It's the spirit. I'm in Arizona, you know, it's dry, it's hot, you know. I'm thinking, you know, oh boy, you know. I'm in Arizona, the desert of the world. You know what they do in Arizona? They say, there's the desert. And oh, by the way, we got a couple of big holes in the desert. Grand Canyon, you ought to see it. Okay. We like green around here, but anyway. So, you can't say one word anymore. So, we're traveling in the car together, and I suddenly get this unction of the Holy Spirit just to pray out for his healing. So I let loose in the Father's love, heal him. God, you care for him so much, and you care for his big brother Ben, and all he's had to go through during this time, and I'm praying it out, and I'm loving it, and I'm just letting it go. And then I go into singing the Father's love over them. So much fun, and I could tell in the back seat, they were like two sponges, just letting that go into their spirit, you know? And it was according to the prophecy that was given to me several times over the last year, you're going to be giving out life. You're going to be giving out more life. You know, there's not a much more encouraging kind of thing for ministry than to find out that you're not just going to minister, you're going to give out life when you speak. Wow, it makes me want to talk until tonight. So, I'm in the car with my grandsons and Mary Pat next to me. And Mary Pat's agreeing with everything. And I'm just singing over them and everything else. Well, we drive into church. And, you know, I don't know about you, but in Arizona, they have a lot of churches. They're not just a church. They're a campus. They're big enough to have a campus. And so they've got a two-story building at this church, really cool, just for children, two stories. So we release them in there. You know, it's a little bit like releasing them to a penitentiary, because they check them in, they identify them, they give them a slip, they give the parents a slip, you know. Oh, my golly. But anyway, we released them, and then we went into a really good message on baptism and so on, and came out and picked them up and threw them in the, well, we didn't throw them, but we put them in the back seat again, and we were going to go off to lunch. Just as he's getting in the car, he says, I received Jesus today. He said, I received, I was three, but I asked him into my heart when I was three, but I didn't really understand it. And so I got with the pastor lady there, and she I received Jesus today. And we were like, that's awesome! You know, we're like having a Holy Spirit. Woo, that's so cool, Cooper. Way to go. Smile, you know. And so we get to the, you know, we said, did you tell your parents? Yeah, you know, okay. So we get to the restaurant, and they're saying, yeah, that was good, buddy. Remember when you were three, You said, Jesus, get in there. that works, you know. But he came to a fuller understanding. I mean, I went through that whole thing. I did the 5 at 5 thing, the 13 thing, and finally at 19, it finally stuck. I finally got it, and it transformed my life. So we were, rejoicing over that. Well, at lunch, he decided to melt my heart. Because he tells his parents, Yeah, Grandpa was singing Jesus songs in the car, and you know, you don't even need a radio. I'm like, yeah! Wow! That's cool! He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. And then it goes into the faith chapter. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Father, I pray that these words will not just be scriptures, will be life for us. That we will be encouraged, Lord. We will let our spirit rise up over our soul. We will have it lead our soul to higher ground. We will rise up on the wings of eagles, Father. We'll have the wings of eagles. We'll fly in the spirit, Lord. This will not just be some theory or some weird thing, but God, it will be life for us. And that our soul will be transformed, our mind transformed by the way the Spirit is wrapping with your Spirit and the Word of God and the destiny spoken over our life and the prophetic words that have been given to us, that our soul will have its mind transformed by the Spirit of God. And by our spirit matching with that and rising up. Our emotions will be under control of the Holy Spirit. Our will align itself. We will honor you, Lord, in every way and honor your word and honor these prophetic words and honor our destiny. And Father, we will then be in alignment with you, in your will be right in the center of it, and favor is what results. God, we give you all the praise that you can get this all done in us by the power of your Spirit. We just align ourselves with the power of the Spirit and we say, we're weak, but make us strong, Lord. We need the strength of the joy that you have rising up inside of our spirit. God, we wrap ourselves around your Father's love for us in all of this. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be encouraged in the Spirit. He's all about you. And he can't wait to rise up. Amen. Amen.
Is it on? Just a 30-second tag. Since I experienced the healing, the miracle, I just wanted to add something so that you would be even more encouraged when you go home and think about this. The enemy tried to snatch our lives in 2009. Grab somebody, if you're new here, from Frontline, they can tell you all about that. And obviously we're here and it didn't happen, but it was a pretty rough ride. In 2010, when this thing came towards me again, it was another deadly attempt. And it was very serious, and we had an idea of what was going on. And we were in Africa, as Pastor Bill said, and the grip on my head was so strong. It was unbelievable. And so when this happened, when we had this heavenly throne room experience, and then Andy was engrafted in and part of that, so the three of us are in the throne zone, in the heavenly zone, we're in the third realm, the revelation, revelatory realm of Jesus, I could see what he was speaking out, what Pastor Bill was speaking out. And I could see all the things that were happening to me. So we were in this place, but yet still there in this room. And when this prayer was over, when this experience, this encounter was over, this grip on my body was completely gone. At that moment, there was no head grip. It was so strong. And I regained my strength because it touched my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. It touched my body. And that next morning, I got some sleep that night. And the next morning, I got up and went and taught at our Kingdom Bible School on our land to the pastors and the leaders in Africa, and then regained my strength throughout the day. It was a very big deal. So the Lord came in and said, you know, last year, that was last year. But this is a little different here. So there's always an increase. It was amazing. And the year before that, I had a miracle with this deadly disease I had the year before that, where Jesus walked into my my room in the hospital and gave me new lungs because I was hooked up to a respirator and I was on life support. And he came in and everything changed and I had a suddenly. And that was back here from an Africa thing, but I was back here when that happened. So the next year, the enemy tried to say, you know, this is not working for me. She's back. But God said, I don't think so. So these experiences, these encounters are not just fun things to go, well, that was nice for them. The Lord is very specific, and he does want us healed, and he wants us strengthened, and he wants us to absolutely be part of his love expression. And so I just wanted to give that to you to think about, because that's kind of way out there, you might think, but for God, it's very normal. And so it was really an amazing time in a little room in an Africa place that we were staying. But I was incredibly touched by the power of God. And to the point where we hadn't even notified anybody back in the States. We were just going through this, and then God came in and just completely said, excuse me, cleared out, everything was over. Very serious and very exciting. Isn't that great? So I just wanted to add that to what the testimony was. It was really exciting. So if you can come back tonight, we'd love to see you at 7. It's going to be an amazing night, and we do have childcare, so if you have little ones, we have a place for them in Kingdom Land, so we'd love to see you.
All right, and just one quick announcement before you head out. If you are a Kingdom Kids teacher in the 3 and 4-year-old class or the K-1, and what? K-4?
Yeah. Or K. Yeah.
Okay. If you are a teacher with the little guys, Joe Wheeler would like to meet with you right after service just to go through some things today. So if you could please stay for a few minutes and Shelly will meet with you. If you are new here, we also have frontline welcome packets that we like to bless you with to answer any questions, to give you more information about that. And so we have them here in the back. So please feel free to grab one. Maybe our greeters from this morning can help with that. And look in your bulletin for your FTC.